Well, it's Friday morning. It's April the 7th, 2017, from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, and the United States of America on God's good, great planet Earth. We're going to invite Tracy Chapman to start me off today as I discuss with you President Trump's evolution on Syria and King Assad. We're going to listen to Anthony Saccarmucci, which was the Presidential Transition Team Executive Committee while Trump was elected, having a conversation with the CNN News Analysis guy. But before that, I want Tracy to lead us off. Tracy, give me something. Hey, give the Fighting for Love audience. Now, there's a few still left on board into the word apologetics from the biblical alternative. I would hope that that is still being believed by some, but I'm going to let Tracy kind of like open up with this because I think this is where we are headed. This is the direction. We are headed for all-out war if this stuff doesn't stop. And what an interesting discussion that I'm gonna weigh in on it myself as the old man from the mountain. And I hope that you enjoy today's presentation. Tracy, what do you think it's leading us to?
Don't you know
what?
Talking about a revolution sounds.
What? Whisper. It's a whisper.
Don't you know? Talking about a revolution sounds.
Babies are dying
while they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know? Talking about a revolution sounds. We're people gonna rise up, get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's theirs. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run.
Something. You want to know something? We, as a nation, are sitting on the brink of World War III. The Russians in the United States, world powers. The Anglo superpowers that have been colonizing the world, subjecting the world to futility, ignorance, death, mayhem. What King Assad is doing in Syria is what they've all done. We are living in perilous times. This is PJ. Retired pastor? Yeah, retired from everything. Oh, I'm telling you, I have made it a major decision, and this is kind of like a good time for me to tell all my friends that listen in. I've made a major decision based upon what I'm looking at right in front of me. I am, and I'm going to get to President Trump's evolution. This thing that I got off CNN News, I think it's an interesting little clip. And I'm hoping that you will be able to hear it because my speaker that I was going to magnify this with is kind of like out of power and it's recharging up. And I wanted to do this early before I took off to Home Depot and got some sod. I'm redoing my backyard today. I'm redoing it. You guys know my money to run out, but I am redoing my backyard. I bought some patio furniture with a wood burner. Just redoing everything for the summer here that's getting ready to come up. And feeling pretty good about it. Still, for those of you that were wondering about the job that I was electing to take, I can take it. I can take it. I finally figured it out. Check this out. My first career was let's get real. I was a shipping clerk from 1964. And then 65, I went into the Army. And when I got out of the Army in 67, I was a shipping clerk for about another 6 months. So my first career was a shipping clerk. My second one, working for the city. I think I got hired by the city of Los Angeles around 1967. Yes, right after I got out of the Army, I got that job, 1967. Warehouseman, all right? 1967 to 1971 or two, where I became a traffic officer for the city. I did that until 1988. But in the meantime there, I had become a minister, okay, in 1988. So from 1988 to, really until the end of my professional career, I was a traffic officer, and then I became a preacher, and then I jumped into another career as a college professor. Now we're into the 90s, and I mean decades. I'm working. I'm 60s old. I mean I'm working, getting up, man, 4:30, going to work. I did this for going on 40. All these years, and got into a financial rut here, ran out of money completely, and went on out there and got me another job, was hired by Job Corps. You guys know I have depression. I suffer from depression, high blood pressure, and other things that old people get. I've changed my diet. I've exercised on a regular basis. My body's getting better. And then my doctor put me on this very light strain of sativa of medical marijuana. Now, a lot of you sitting out there listening to me says, oh, you're a dope head. No, I'm not. I have a little pipe, and maybe once a day, usually around 4 or 5 o'clock, because that's when my arthritic problems kick in. You know, after I've been working, I got up this morning, I can barely walk because it attacked me in my spine. And you're talking about pain. I haven't even touched a pipe. I won't. I'm drinking a cup of coffee, thinking about the news, thinking about God, thinking about what's right. I'm in the studio. But anyhow, they found this in my system. And this Job Corps is a federal government job. And federal government disagrees with state government about these medical marijuana places. Well, I agree with it because I know what it does for not only older people, but for people that truly need it. For those of you that need a Bible verse for the justification of me doing that, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7. Try to get a good commentary. Read it. You'll understand what herbs are for. Herbs. I'm not talking about this chemically produced stuff. I'm talking about herbs. That's what I'm talking about. And they found that in my system, and then they got to acting a little fishy. You know, nobody's calling me back telling me about the test. I'm calling about the test. Do I have to take the test over? No word. So I don't have time for that. I'm 73 years old, okay? Mine is still sharp. I can help that organization. I can help them with those youngsters. As a matter of fact, I had a conversation before I get into this thing about Assad and all that. I had a conversation with a friend of mine, and this friend of mine was trying to tell me, why do you try to help these youngsters that are good for nothing? And I said, what do you mean? And they said, why do you try to help these people that will never be anything? And which totally goes against my Christian frame of reference. You know, we're talking about human beings, and they're saying, why do I help other human beings? And it has a little bit to do with the webcast today, because it appears that the CNN commentator is trying to get Anthony to give a reason why President Trump should be humane and not only bomb Assad's people for terrorizing and gassing his own people, but that we should open up the borders and let the Syrian refugees over here without checking them. No, and I'll tell you why my reason is no on that. And primarily, and I want you to follow through with me, I said no because we're Americans. Those, you don't just open the gates and let other people in here. You don't do that. That what kind of mentality is that? When you let them over here, let's say that one of their people was killed in that war over there. And these people, because I know how it is when you got gang members that kill other gang members here. These people can't even ever forget that. They want retaliatory practices against that. You don't bring those kind of people that's been dispersed from their own country. What they should have did is get a bunch of people to rush the palace, shoot Assad in the head, and take the government back. That's what you do. That's what you do. Now, I'm going to say it again. If you want a real good indication of how to fight back, look at that movie Apocalypto and get that stuff right. You got to fight to survive. But anyhow, I'll get into that later. So I didn't want to join an organization which was going to be, to me, petty. Now, I'm old. My doctor prescribed it. My VA doctor, as a matter of fact, prescribed it when I was in the hospital with my prostate condition a number of years ago, I think 2005. And I said, man, I'm no dope head. I said, when I was a young man, I think I tried marijuana two or three times. I didn't like it. It made me choke. And he said, this brand of sativa will eliminate your problems at first inhaling. And it did. Now, I've been on that ever since, 2005, 2006. Legalized with the card. I pay for it every year. And now, since they found that in my blood, in my piss or whatever, well, we can't hire you. All right. I'm not even going to try at 73. I'm not. But I'm not going to go into a state of almost comatose in my mind and let my body start crippling up. A lot of people look at me walking around. I'm healthy. My mind is sharp. And why is that? And some of you senior citizens that are sitting at home suffering now, suffering at home with aches and pains, you need some medical marijuana that will clear that mess up for you in a minute. I think that what happens is that we're listening to the people around us that has absolutely the wrongest perspective about life. But anyhow, I'm going to try to live off of what I have coming into me, just a few dollars. The only difficult time for me is tax time. And when it's time to pay the insurance, that's when I get behind because I can't make all my bills. But I'm going to try to pay my bills in piecemeal. And then if some of these young men that I help get them some employment, they can possibly add some layers of money on there and so that I can survive. But I was having an interesting conversation with a friend of mine, and he told me to treat the young men that I come in contact with like vermin. I mean, it was quite a disturbing conversation. And I said, you know what, brother? I have a Christian background. I am a Christian. You may not believe that I am. Now, I'm just like you. I'm human. I'm not perfect. I got parts about me that I know I shouldn't be. And I go to the maker of divine wisdom and ask him to help me because I don't want to hurt nobody. I hope I'm not harmful to myself. But basically, I'm not a good person. I'm a person that lives as righteously as I possibly can towards my God and towards my fellow man. But I'm not going to agree with everything that any other human being says. And one of those things that a human being says is that I shouldn't take medical marijuana. It's legal in the state of California, though the federal government don't think it's, forget them, half of them are on it. And I know what I'm talking about. I see all these people in LA doing that. And now, by the numbers, older people are more and more coming into this. When I go into my shop, it's a lot of senior citizens going in there, and they swear on it. And I'm telling you, stop taking all this medicine that these medical physicians are giving you. Oh, I have to renew some of my medicine today because I'm running out. I'm talking about my high blood pressure medicine because my blood pressure spikes. So I need to keep that level. You understand what I'm saying? I'm 73. I know what I'm talking about. I have been taking my blood pressure because I can feel when my blood pressure is up. I can feel when it's up. But anyhow, let's come back to this situation that we confronted with over here. And I think that one of my major screens went out. So I'm going to have to get over here and hit this code. And let me take off this headset and cut this thing back on. Because I do want you, the listening audience, to hear this and pay very close attention to the interview. Because I think that the argument is worthy. And I've been trying to listen to a lot of arguments in the past. You know what I want to do? I want to get a little bit more stretch on this cable because I want this thing to be heard from over here. I'm serious. I want you to hear this. So let me extend the mic. Here we go. I've extended it a little bit more. I want you to listen to the argument. To the argument by both the news commentator on CNN. I think this was yesterday after all this broke. And I'll be breaking in and out of this, giving you my comments. Let's get started right now. Listen to this conversation.
You've said several times, moral man. His heart is big. He felt the humanity of this.
Now, that's the news commentator speaking to this analysis guy about Donald Trump's heart being broken because the little children were being gassed to death in Syria. I mean, I saw little children. I mean, if you really want to see some unblotted pictures, you go to the Democracy Now! Website, and they're showing that stuff. And they're showing it on the other news agency. So Donald Trump is like me because he's old school. And he knows that if you're going to fight a war, you ain't got no dang business targeting civilian camps. And he has a big heart. But listen to what the news commentator tries to say.
Mustn't those also apply to his feelings about the refugees? He went at it?
No. Now let me answer that right now. No. He shouldn't have a big heart towards the refugees. The refugees are from another country. There are too many of them. We cannot have a big heart to take on. What if everybody in the world, okay, what if a plague came out and the only country in the world that had food was America? Are we obligated to bring everybody in the world over here? Now that's what this guy is asking, basically.
Out of his way during the campaign to say, specifically, those Syrian refugees, I want them to know. If they come here, they're going home. He now knows what he would be sending them home to. Well,
no, you know what? You can't do that. That is a simple form of logic that just doesn't stand. He's not sending them home to anything. They're leaving their home. Now, what happens is that the other Islamic nations around them, people that eat the food they eat, worship God the way they worship God, the way their human community binds together as a group to get something done. Listen to Pastor John. I'm trying to tell you the way people think or used to think in this country. You know, every country has their own national anthem. You see it during the Olympics, their flag. They march under their flag, their culture. And when you see the Olympic Games, you see these people celebrating their individuality. Now, this American news commentator thinks that the president should open the borders and let everybody over here because happy, happy, happy. Let's see the way the guy answers this fallacious statement.
Will we see a shift there as well? Okay, well, I think let me give you the broad context of what he was saying as I was with him in the campaign. What he was basically suggesting is that the conflict with ISIS that led to this refugee problem, with the right foreign policy and military strategy, we probably could have put down ISIS. We both know, I was in Iraq in 2011, meeting with General Austin, where the troop force recommendation was about 15,000 troops. Going down to 900 troops, okay, and blaming the SOFA agreement, Chris, was the wrong thing to do, because we now have 8,000 troops in Iraq. Jared Kushner just got back from there. We don't have a SOFA agreement, yet we have 8,000 troops in Iraq. And so this was political strategy overlaid on the military that led to the ISIS situation and the cause of this refugee problem. So what?
Now, you understand that. Under Obama, our military was cut. Everybody was saying, end that, get out of there. So he did that. And then look what happened. The insurgent starts up. That's why if you weaken your military, listen to me, people. I was in the U.S. Army. I was drafted into the U.S. Army because at the time, now Donald Trump probably didn't go into the U.S. Army because he was rich. Rich white boys don't go into the U.S. Army carrying no gun, going up on the front line. No, they don't. During the Vietnam War, there was poor and middle-class white boys. I know. I was a radio teletype operator while I was stationed in Seoul, Korea, during the height of the Vietnam conflict. There were a group of American soldiers sent over to the 304th Signal Battalion during the year 1966 when I was there. I know because I was just released from the military stockade for insubordination to a non-commissioned officer. And they got me out of jail after being in there 10 days to train some American soldiers that were drafted, because they were drafting every Tom, Dick, and Harry to go in that war. And they were sending boys from the U.S. over there to Vietnam as fodder for the fire. Now, these white boys had money in their family. And I was told when I was let out of the military stockade that I was to help train these guys to become radio teletype operators within 10 days because some senators were coming over here from our country to see if they were radio teletype operators, because they changed these boys' MOS and so that they wouldn't die in Vietnam. And I have a picture in my files of one that I took out to dinner at the Grand Hotel in Seoul, Korea that night. They got me out of the stockade, gave me my stripe back. See, I was being ready to be made a sergeant over a radio truck. Man, that was 1966. They didn't have no blacks over people like that. And they know that I was pretty quick with that stuff. Marginalized me. Some racist sergeant messed with me, and what got me in the stockade was I told him what he could kiss. I was just 21 years old, 21, 22, something like that, and to racism, I was born in Los Angeles. What, you was gonna treat me like what? I mean, so I did 20 days in the stockade. See, I can talk about it even on my own blog thing here, because I'm not embarrassed or ashamed of anything. You know, I try to tell people, they say, well, why did you tell the people you smoke medical marijuana? I say, because I don't lie. Why am I lying? Why am I lying to you to get anything done? I'm not afraid of you. Oh, well, you're going to do it my way. No, I'm not. I'd rather go. You know, a friend of mine offered to help me with some money, right? And I needed the help. But I had to turn him down. I said, how dare you tell me to put a young man out in the street, to turn him away from shelter and food and comfort and put him in the street because he ain't trying to look for no job the way you looking for a job. Said he'll look for a job if he gets hungry enough. And I didn't need this friend of mine telling me to kick somebody out in the street and call himself a Christian, which is an abomination to me. You call yourself a Christian. I don't care. You know what? Let me stay on the subject matter. So anyhow, they bring these boys over here, and within 10 days, I had trained them to be radio teletype operators just like me. And then they shipped them boys all over South Korea. You think them boys, them white boys went to Vietnam? No, they're alive today. Some of them are my age today, if they're still living. And they know that their families and their monies and their senators saved them from dying in the Vietnam conflict. Because if you was a white boy that had a college deferment and you could go to the university or the college, then you didn't get drafted. But if you did not have that, as a matter of fact, when I went down to the recruitment center downtown on Broadway, man, they swore us in. And he asked a question of the men. How many of you, who has the highest college degree here? One boy raised his hand. He had 2 years of junior college. They gave him the package with the orders in it and said, you hold the orders of all these men. Bought us ticket, put us on a Continental jet, send us down to Texas. I never had so much culture shock in my life when I got off that plane and those people was talking in a southern drawl. You have to keep it in mind, I was born and raised in Los Angeles. Had never left the city on anything like that. And the federal government drafted me. And it was the happiest 2 years of my life. The happiest 2 years of my life. So I have an affinity for the army, for the military, for the American system, just like Donald Trump. If you haven't had that, if you didn't go through that, you don't know what I'm talking about. And if you're a young man, you darn sure don't know what I'm talking about because you're feminized. You think like a female. You think like everything is supposed to be rosy and everybody loves one another and this is Sesame Street and all this kind of bull crap. You need to wake up. Reality is going to look you straight in the face. Now listen, if we keep bombing that stuff over there in Syria and if we bomb those Russians, and you better know, we better not start putting our missiles, blowing up Russian soldiers over there, or it's going to be world war hell. Because those guys don't play over there. And we got some guys over here that don't play either. Trump is one of them guys, and his cabinet is a group of those guys. You may not like them. And you know what? I told you the truth about Obama when he got elected. And here I am in 2017 telling you the truth about who's getting elected now? Now, let's go back to this conversation, see what they're talking about. Listen to this.
The president was saying, or the candidate was saying at the time, let's create safe zones in Syria so Syrian people can live in Syria.
There are no safe zones in Syria. He knows that now.
We know that.
That's all right. There are no safe zones in Syria. That's not our responsibility. It is the Syrian people. It is the government in those regions to provide that. I'm sure that if the Canadian army went berserk and attacked the parliament in Canada and Canadians start rushing south of the border to America, there has to be safety zones. We can't take the entire Canadian population in this country. It would mess up our infrastructure. Continue to talk, brothers.
Now, and so we have to, we still have to think about a process of trying to create peace there and allowing the Syrian people, to the extent that they want to live in Syria. What the president is concerned about.
See, allow the Syrian people to go live in Syria. That is our only obligation to that country. Our obligation is not to redo their infrastructure. Our obligation. That's why Trump said Mexico is going to build that wall to keep their citizens in there. We building the wall over here to keep them out because of our regional problems that we're having. And those of you that don't live in that region, you don't know what the problems are unless you're down there. Now, they may be white, but they are my American brothers and sisters. I'm black here in Los Angeles. And I'm going to tell you, I don't want a bunch of Syrians. Do you know how many cars are in this city? Don't you get no crazy people over here with no crazy ideas. Continue to talk, brothers.
As it relates to any refugee from hostile actors to the United States is harm to the American people.
No, that's it. You see, because if they're hostile actors, you don't want them embedding within our population. That's common sense. And the commentator immediately breaks in on him and says,
"Anthony, but Anthony, hold on. Let me knock you off message for 1 second, and then you answer. Okay. I'll give you a chance. I promise you that."
Now, so the CNN commentator says, no, because see, CNN has an agenda. This liberal agenda, as you listen to the news, you have to be able to be wise enough to follow out what the heck their agendas are, because they're not playing with it. Now, listen to what he's going to say here now.
"Those women, those children that broke his heart, okay? That's the group that he's saying poses a risk to the United States. And that's why people have been trying to point out to him, refugees in general don't pose a risk, but specifically, these people are running for their lives. Why would you villainize them?"
I don't.
He isn't villainizing them. He's not villainizing those people. He's just saying that we do not have... Look, man, y'all got to stop listening to these... I won't call them fake news. It's a liberal news station. You're listening to the liberal news people that are giving you, you know, the bleeding heart aspect of it. All right, let me let you know. I had this pastor friend of mine tell me that I was wrong for helping young men. Some of these young men are really, really in dire straits of even my children. My daughters don't like me helping them to the degree that I do. They say, "Daddy, you've gone overboard. You've done more than you can do for these young men." No, I can do more. Just like all of us can do more for our citizens. Now, if one of these young men were dangerous, oh, my little dogs, if one of these young men were dangerous to the fact that they would cause me bodily harm, then I would know it, right? Because I'm here. But they're not doing that. Now, you go and start bringing in these people that's been marred. They've lost their whole families, mom and daddy and everything. And then he sees us here in America twerking. Let's say he sees young people his age twerking, which is a disgusting thing for him and his environment, his God, and everything else. And he feels like he's been resettled in the middle of hell. And then he remembers what some of his teachers taught him about strapping bombs on his behind. And then he wants to do that and go into a mall somewhere and decimate it. See, these are the kind of minds you're dealing with. All right, let's continue to listen to this argument.
I don't think that's the group. I think what he's basically saying...
Well, that's the group that's run.
I think he's basically looking at the situation and
Did you hear what the commentator said? That's the group that's running. That's not our responsibility. I mean, look, if I saw 500 African-American boys running down the street in front of my house, as a matter of fact, you can go to it on my marriage counseling page. It is the last marriage counseling hour that I had on those 20 hours. While we were here in the Lucy Coleman studio during that broadcast, there was a party going on the Inglewood side. I live on the border of Inglewood in Los Angeles. And there was a party going on the Inglewood side. It looked like hundreds of kids going down the street. The windows were open like they are now. And we saw it and we said, "What is that?" And then streams of police cars came after these youngsters down the street. Those are our citizens. And we were asking the question on the webcast, and it was beautiful the way the last hour went off, because here we are doing it, and all of a sudden in the midst of this crowd of people going down the street, and I began to ask the people, "Where are your children? Where are they?" And I think that incident and everything happened with helicopters going overhead and everything. That's how we deal with situations in our country. Now, you get a bunch of foreigners coming over here, and then they got their religion mixed into it, and then their trauma. I know, because I know someone that lives in somewhere where these people live. And when I pull up, I have to turn down my music and my radio and everything because these people look at me real strange, all wrapped up. And they make me feel kind of uncomfortable. And don't be looking at me that way. Mind your business. And then I hear that they make these horrible noises at night. They get up at strange hours of the night and do things because that's what they do. As a matter of fact, they're on their time. They won't even bide into American time zones. And so you have these people with these, and they're living in places with no furniture in there like we have, just a mat on the floor. Windows all open, you can look all in their place. I'm not mad at anybody, but I'm saying that it's a different culture than we have. You have to understand that. Let's hear what the guy answers.
Being a good intuitive person and looking at statistics is that there are potentially bad actors, okay, that are in the refugee community that could end up in the United States.
Potentially, you've never seen worn out in reality.
You see how the commentator broke into him? See how he did that? That man was answering a question, and that commentator busted in on him and would not let him finish saying what he was saying. I'm going to back that up so you can hear it, because I think you need to hear this. Let's go about right here. Right here. Now, let me start that over again. Here we go.
Just being a good intuitive person and looking at statistics is that there are potentially bad actors, okay, that are in the refugee community.
Now, there are potentially bad actors that are in the refugee community. We know that. We know that. When Fidel had that amnesty policy and he let all the crooks go out of Cuba, okay, put them on boats and let them make that trip and send them to Florida. Now, you know where you can see an enactment of that? Yes, you can. In the movie, what was it called? Scarface. You see the movie Scarface that plainly points it out. Potential bad actors. And remember in the movie Scarface, they had them all locked up in the prison and they would not let them become embedded in the American society yet. They had to really look at them closely. That's what Guantanamo is all about. I can't understand. You have a facility where you can interrogate gangster type people that want to kill your family and what they believe in. That's why I am for the America that was, not for this new America that walks around with, you know, like the monkeys, their hands over their eyes, over their ears, over their mouth. And then no, that's stupidity, man. You are out of your mind. Potential bad actors. Now watch what happens.
That could end up in the United States.
Potential. You've never seen it worn out in reality.
Would have hurt on our babies. Would have hurt on our children. Okay,
but that happens in such statistically small numbers that I'm saying, how does that weigh against what he now says is breaking his heart?
That's why it hasn't happened anything in small numbers, because we keep the noose tight. You see, when you're thinking with a liberal mind, listen to me, you young people out there. When you're thinking with a liberal mind, you're only thinking about the abject objects that you're looking at. When you're the president of the United States, if you're a senator of this country, a congressman or congresswoman, albeit, whatever you are, you look at the entire situation and weigh it. You just, you know, it's like me trying to work on my little backyard patio thing here. I tell the boys, I'm doing this because I'm not going back to another job. And I'm going to have to want to relax. And when I relax in my backyard, I don't want to look at no ugly lawn. I want to look at a nice manicured lawn where I can lie back there, get some sunshine in my backyard in the privacy of my home. This is for me. That's what I tell the boys around here. I'm doing this for me before all my money runs out. Because when this money runs out and I got to do, you know what I had to do, people? Filling you guys in on my life. I had to take a tree down in my backyard that had grown to the other side of my neighbor's property. Lucy planted the tree. I told her not to plant it there. She planted it too close to the fence. So anyhow, the tree grew on the other side of the property. It grew up and it started to entangle itself in the wires that go into my home and the home next door. I had to have the tree cut down. My neighbor said, "Oh, you took our shade." I said, "It was my tree. And if the wind blew hard, it was going to break the wire, start a fire, burn down your house and mine, and I would have been liable." So I spent a few hundred dollars to have the tree taken down. And it looks like my backyard and their backyard is a barren place. There's no shade. But it's my tree. I could do it. See, I'm an American. It's mine. I don't do anything based upon somebody else's feelings, based upon how someone else feels about what is mine. That's what makes this country great. When it's yours, you can do what you want to do. See that job down at Job Corps? That was mine. But since they wanted me to, well, they didn't want me to lie. They just said, "We don't want you to have this kind of element." And, well, you don't want me to work for you then, because this is the only thing that works for me. The only thing that works for me. Man, I'm telling you, I can have a conversation and I just take one puff of my pipe and the subject matter becomes crystal clear. I don't know why people think the marijuana guy. You know what? You want to see a funny movie? What's it called? Something Madness? Weed Madness or something like that. It was made back in the days when they had black and white films. And that's the funniest thing in the world. That was a bunch of dope heads getting high. I've seen that before. But you know what? That all has to do with freedom. Let's end up this little newscaster's quibble.
Disagree with the president on this?
Okay. It's regrouping. Come on. I didn't expect for the computer to do that. You know how it just... here we go. No, I guess that's it. I guess the deal is saying, okay, that's enough. We don't want John to hear anymore. But you get my drift, people. There's going to be this back and forth. And the back and forth has to do with how we are going to govern ourselves if this thing turns out to be war. And we have to be very careful now. We have to be very careful because of Russia. We have to be very careful because of Russia, because the Russians are over there, embedded with them people. They have some of this stuff, and we have some of ours. And I've been looking at the news clips, and it's saying that the American military is in constant communication with the Russian military about what they're doing in Syria. Now, do you see why that is important? It is very important for them to have that kind of communication so there is no breach. I don't think that these men that are in the cabinet in the White House wants to see us plummeted into war, but I believe that if we follow a liberal agenda, that we are headed for war. Trust me, Donald Trump is not sitting in that White House as a crazy man making crazy statements, doing things like that, because what he sees is his son choking on that gas if it comes over here. And of course, the president will fight for his people and for this country. Now, this is the way we put it back in the day of the wars, World War I and II, and Korea and Vietnam. I know hundreds and thousands of people lost their lives over these wars, and I am not a dove, I'm a hawk. When it comes to that, I believe that you have to be strong and remain strong in order to keep other people out of your backyard when you don't want them in there. See, when I get my backyard fixed up, it ain't gonna be nobody jumping over no fence. No, you're not gonna, because I may build a lattice going all the way around the house. I don't even want you to see what's going on my property. I see some beautiful places on the west side like that. You don't know what's going on there. Because they took the time and the money and they are living on their private property. So, just a thought. Now, where does love come in? You love the Syrian people and you pray for them. You help them individually. If you can help a family, if you can help a group of families, if you would like to help through the Syrian consulate, you can help in that way. You can help by attending their mosque and informing them that you have so much goods going over there. You take an individual family that you want to take in and help, but let them go through that extreme vetting to make sure that they are not coming over here with twisted ideas in this culture where you see a chick walking down the street in a mini dress and a dude going down the street with his behind hanging out. Because that's what this country has become. Now, you may think that it's, immoral and all of that. Well, just make sure you don't tie a grenade around you and blow me up along with you. See. Just some thoughts on this day. And Tracy Chapman was asking, oh my gosh, I didn't know that I had. You know what? I was supposed to go back to that thing and do that. Don't you know I'm talking about a revolution? That's what Tracy started off with. And I think that's what I'm going to end up with, the revolution thing, because that is what we're talking about. There's going to be revolution or war or something, and it all depends upon the way each of us faces our particular incident. So come on, Tracy, lead me back to that point again. I can't help it. There it is. I hear. What you say, girl? What you beating on that thing? What you saying?
Don't you know?
What? What?
Talking about a revolution sounds
a whisper.
Don't you know? Talking about a revolution sounds
like a whisper.
While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know? Talking about a revolution sounds whispered. Who are people gonna rise up and get their share? Gonna rise up and take what's there.